Paul Tournier, the late Swiss psychiatrist theologian, he discovered a reoccurring psychological problem in his therapy in Switzerland. He called it the unblessed child. It had nothing to do with the gifts of the child, had nothing to do with the ability of the child, had nothing to do with the opportunities of the child, or even material possessions. It had to do with children not being blessed, not feeling approved by his or her parents, feeling somehow that they did not measure up, that somehow they never really pleased their parents. Tony is a very talented architect. He's taught architecture in universities, even written a book of the subject. He grew up in a family of a very successful businessman who was a perfectionist when it came to his children. His father has been dead for 20 years, but he's still trying to please him. He works to accomplish something that will make him think, my dad would like that. Rhonda grew up the youngest of four daughters. The others were small. Rhonda was overweight. Her mother constantly nagged her about her weight. When Rhonda married and had children of her own, she soon realized that she was treating her children just as her mother had treated her. People grow up in families and never receive a blessing, or live with a marriage partner but never feel accepted, or go to school and not feel accepted by teachers, or even worse, their peers. Everyone wants and needs a blessing. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27, there's the story of Jacob and Esau. Near the end of his life, Isaac, their father, wanted to give his blessing to his oldest son, Esau. But Jacob, with the encouragement and help of his mother, tricked Isaac into giving him the blessing that was intended for Esau. Verse 34 of chapter 27 says that when Esau heard that his father had blessed Jacob, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me also, O my father." And then in verse 36, he said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And finally, in verse 38, he says, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. It's impossible to characterize the anguish that was in Esau's heart when he said, "Bless me, me also, O my father." That's the cry of every child to his or her parents. That's the cry of every spouse to his or her mate. That's the cry of Tony. That's the cry of Rhonda. That's the cry of people you relate to every single day. Maybe it's your own cry. Genuine acceptance is an unmet need of many people today. But it doesn't have to be. You can give a blessing to the people in your life. Even if you were one who didn't feel like you received a blessing in your life, you can change all that and you can bless others. You can bless the people in your life. Let me give you three suggestions on blessing others. First of all, a blessing needs to be felt. Verse 21 of Genesis 27 says, "Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not.'" Throughout the scriptures, touch played an important part in the bestowal of a family blessing. When Isaac blessed Jacob, an embrace and a kiss were involved. We need to feel the embrace of those that we love. The gospel writers speak of Jesus touching people. He touched the sick. He touched the lepers. He touched the blind, the deaf, the prostitutes, the outcasts. A special moment in the life of Christ was when the children came to him. It says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Hugs, holding hands, the stroke of a head, and an arm around a shoulder, they all communicate acceptance. They all communicate approval. They all communicate importance and value. A blessing needs to be felt. A blessing also needs to be spoken. In verse 27 of Genesis 27, it speaks about that. You see, in the scriptures, the family blessing was also a spoken message. Abraham spoke a blessing to Isaac. Isaac spoke a blessing to Jacob. It says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him, and he said, and then he gave the blessing. Jacob himself spoke it then to each of his sons and the two of his grandchildren when he gave blessing. A blessing is not a blessing unless it's spoken. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 reads, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words have the power to build up or tear down. Words have the power of death. They inflict pain. They can destroy a friendship. They can rip apart a home, or they can cause harm in a marriage. And when harmful words are spoken, it's impossible to call them back. Words also have the power to build people up. Words can be the source of healing. They can be a source of forgiveness and life. Our children, our spouse, our friends, our work associates, they long to hear words of approval, words of acceptance, words of affection. And they especially need to hear them before and after they've made a mistake in life. Before and after they've gotten in trouble, they need to hear those words of acceptance, words of approval. Which is a good reason why we should speak blessings to our children, to our loved ones. Because there are moments when they're going to get in trouble. There are moments when they're going to struggle, when they're going to fall. They need to know that they're accepted. They need to know that they're approved of. Yeah, they may need to straighten some things out, but they need to know. And so after they fall, after they struggle, after they have a difficult time, they need to be able to remember those words of acceptance. And then they need to hear more words of acceptance. Oh, maybe some correction, maybe some straightening out, but they need to hear acceptance. With a spoken blessing, we express the value of that person to us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 and 28, it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. That speaks about meeting people's needs. But what greater need is there than a blessing? Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it to you when you have it with you. And boy, that can apply to the spoken word of a blessing as well. Have you ever been to a family reunion? For most of the time, people talk about sports, recipes, movies, the latest news, whatever's going on. But suddenly, before the family reunion ends, before the members begin to say their goodbyes, meaningful words all of a sudden begin to be spoken. A brother will say to his sister, you know, I know things are going to work out in your marriage. Things will be okay. An aunt will say to her niece, you've always made me proud. I know school is hard, but you can do it. I believe in you. A daughter will say to a parent, you know, look around you, Mom. We didn't turn out half bad, did we? So often, the most meaningful words are said just before the goodbyes. Sometimes we wait too long, and the words we want to say and the words we want to hear never get said, and they're lost forever. A blessing needs to be felt. A blessing needs to be spoken. And finally, number three, a blessing needs to be uplifting. Look again at verse 27. It says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. When we value something, we place great importance on it. And this is at the heart of the concept of blessing. The Hebrew word that's translated blessing It literally means to bow the knee. It's the imagery of a man who has his camel bend down a knee so that he can get onto the camel, because the camel's too high. So the camel has to bend his knee and get down so that he can climb on there. When you relate that to God, the word came to mean to adore with bended knee. And so bowing before someone is a graphic picture of valuing that person. And when we bless someone because of the meaning of it, what we end up doing is we attach a high value to that person, to him or her. Isaac placed great value on Jacob when he blessed him. When he told Jacob he smelled like a field, Isaac was communicating that his son was like the blessing of a great harvest, a great field that God had blessed. Those were special words to Jacob, for his father to express that to him and to place that kind of value in him. First, Isaac painted a picture of other people bowing down to Jacob. It was a reminder to him that he would be a man of great respect one day. For some people, we don't have to look very deep or very far to find value in them. But for others, we got to dig deep to discover the value. Sometimes it means that we have to see what other people don't see. In order to bless, sometimes we got to look and we got to see beyond what everybody else sees. We need to see their potential and we need to point it out to them. Jesus did that over and over again with his disciples and with others. He saw the potential. He even changed their names to reflect the potential that was in them. Peter is a good example of that. Peter's name was Simon. Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means rock. And Peter grew into a very strong and solid leader for Jesus Christ. He became such a leader that he became one of the head leaders of the church. One who had denied Jesus the night he was betrayed, willingly went to a cross himself. And because of his commitment to Christ and how he viewed Christ, he wouldn't accept crucifixion as Christ did, and he wanted to be crucified upside down, recognizing just how less honor he should receive than Jesus Christ. You look through the New Testament after Jesus was resurrected, and Peter was a rock. He's the one that stood at Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Michelangelo was asked the question, how do you sculpture such beautiful angels? And he replied, I see the angel in the marble and I chisel until I set it free. That's what we have to do with people in blessing them. We have to look beyond the rough exterior. We've got to look beyond the outside. We have to point out the person's value. And when we do, we have the power to free them. That's giving a blessing. That's what Jesus did for Peter. And that's what we can do for others. He changed Peter's life. We can be a part of people's lives being changed. You can turn somebody's life around by giving them a blessing. Through meaningful touch, through a spoken word, through pointing out their value, you have the power to change the direction of someone's life. The message of Jesus Christ is how God touches and communicates His blessing to us. Through Jesus Christ, God said to us that I love you so much. I love you so much that I'm willing to send my Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin so that you don't have to pay it. I love you that much. And so if you would put your faith in Jesus Christ, instead of perishing, instead of going to hell for your sin, you can be saved and you can go to heaven and have eternal life.